Thank you, Lord. We are so glad that He's in control tonight. Because if He's not, then I don't have no business being here. You know, we depend on God for just about, well, everything. We cannot even walk like the sun said without Him. So we are so glad to be here. Just like David said, you know, I was glad when they said it's Wednesday. Well, he didn't say Wednesday, but he says, I'm glad when they said unto me. You know, in one side, you know, I'm glad, and half of me is kind of sad with the things that are going on, you know. It's something that is out of our hands. Humanly speaking, we can do nothing about it. But we know who can do something about it. And what we need to do is continue praying for the situation that is around us, in our nation, and everywhere in the world. Ask God to have mercy. Because I don't even want my enemy to have what's going on. I mean, I want God to have mercy. In every case, He be merciful for those that are, that die and their families, and those that are in hospitals. You know, this is something that we don't understand. One of these days we will know. But as far as we know, God is still on His throne. God is still in control. Amen. Let us read a scripture from Matthew chapter 7 before we sit down. Keep Brother Doug in prayer. He's out there in R&R, I call, rest and recuperation. That's what we do in the Army. When you get too tired, too stressed out, too pressed out, too kicked out, whatever, you know, they give you a little R&R, you know. Send you out there to the beach, to the ocean. You relax for a week and then go back to the battle, you know. So pray for our brother, pastor, and keep him always in your prayers. He's out there trying to get some kind of a game, you know. I'm not a hunter, so, you know, I just go to the supermarket, and that's what I hunt. Yeah. That don't mean that I have never done it. I mean, when I was a teenager, I used to. My father, we lived in almost like a farm, you know. I know how to kill a pig and chickens, and I know how to make stews. I mean, if we had to, I will do it. But why? You know, I just drive to the... I hate cold, and people go out there in the cold weather and sit from 3 in the morning to who knows when. I freeze. Forget it. I didn't come for that kind of climate. Anyway, Matthew 7, 15 to 23. I am planning to speak about attributes. Now, you might know, you know, there are some people here that might know a lot about attributes after the years and years you've been in the message. And some of you maybe know some things about attributes, but we don't know if there's somebody out there that don't know anything. Maybe you just heard the term in a preaching here and a preaching there, you know, what is an attribute, you know. But tonight I want to kind of, God put this in my heart, and if it is for one person out there that don't know about it, that's God's business anyway. All I have to do is obey. So, but I want to start with Matthew 7, 15, 23 as my base text here to get my context out of it. It said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. In another way, you shall know them by their action. You shall know them by their attributes. An attribute is an essential characteristic of anybody. Right. No, that's who you are. You know, what you believe and what your attributes are, that is your life will produce that. That's a fruit. So you shall know them by their action, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So again, you cannot have sweet water out of a bitter well, and the other way around. Either you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. Amen. Either you're sweet or either you're not. Amen. Either you're drunk or either you're sober. But we don't have no halfway Christians. Amen. Either you are hot or either you are cold. You know, God chosen hot ones, but also God chosen frozen ones. you know, and God hates lukewarm. We don't want to be in there. That's the make believers. They are not hot, they are not cold, and they will not define themselves. So we talk about that a little bit more. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruits. So don't expect good things out of bad things. And the other way around. You know, if somebody's a wicked man, a reprobate, you know, unregenerated, evil, don't expect nothing good out of that person. So why associate with those things? Right? And the other side of the coin is, if somebody's a Christian with good attributes, good manners, good characteristics, then it will produce good fruits. Amen. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits, neither can corrupt tree can bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Whoever, therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Now, the Bible tells us not to judge, because the way you judge, in the manner you judge, you shall be judged. Whatever rule you use for judging, that is the same rule they're going to use for you. However, the Bible tells us that we can know people by what? By their fruits. Now, you're not a fruit inspector tonight. That's not what God's calling us to do. But by their ways, their habits, their conversations, the way they do things, you know who is and who is not. However, do not judge anybody by their cover. You know, you don't judge a book by the cover. But the Bible says, do not judge the person or how he looks, but judge his what? His spirit. Because the spirit is what produces the fruits. By the spirit I will know. That's why Brother Branham always contacted the what? The spirit. Because that's who you are. That's where I am. In my spirit. Doesn't matter what I look outside. Even though I'm tall, handsome, and dark. But, you know. Inside I was just like everybody else. Full of darkness. Well, yeah, I believe it. That's fine. I'm the only one who has to believe that, see? So he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Of course. The only way you can say Lord is by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is the only way you can address and say the word Lord to him. To have the understanding of who he is, it has to be through the by the Holy Spirit. So at least something is said already that you have to have it in order to call him Lord. Because not everybody that calls him Lord, he says, shall enter into the kingdom of heavens. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Again, you cannot do the will of God unless you have something inside you. Until you have him inside you to drive you through the Holy Ghost to do. Listen, without the Holy Ghost, I'm done. I won't be able to do his will. I tried. I tried years and years until I surrendered my life to him. Now he gives me the Holy Ghost. Now I have some power. I got a power that will change my life. I have a power that make me obey. I have a power that if I surrender to it, I will do his will. Amen. Without him, we cannot do his will. We can try, but it's impossible. Without the Holy Ghost, we won't make it, period. But that does, it says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heavens, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, today is the day. In that day, today. Lord, Lord. So we're not talking about prophets and we're not talking so much about teachers. We're talking about anybody, Christian, that will say, Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not preached in your name? Have we not testified? Have we not gone and done mission work? Have we not do this and that? And in the name have we cast devils? And in that name, do many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, and I never what? Knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And we know what iniquity is. It's to know what to do right and not do it. Amen. You know, we know the word of God and know what the word of God says and what we should do. And to reject it will be iniquity. Amen. So it says, depart from me, I never knew you. So knowing is not like, you know, I know you and you know me, my name is so and so. No. Know him, know before the foundation of the world. See, I didn't know your name. I'm glad that he knows my name. I'm glad that he knows your name. Before the foundation, he knew me. He knew that I was going to be here. He knew what I was going to do. He knew you were going to be here. I knew that whatever is going to be said, you needed it. That's good enough for me. God is not a God that is surprised. I don't surprise him, God, by being here and Brother Doug gone. He knew all this. This is already being said, planned by God. He's in control. So if you have any complaint, talk to my boss. Never knew you. Knew you has a connotation, also a sexual connotation, at least for human beings. Because to know in the beginning, Adam knew his wife. And we know what happened. They have Abel, Cain and Abel. Well, Abel at least. So to know God is to be born, okay, from him as well. See, an attribute of God is a thought in his mind. But that thought has to be born. And you and I have to be born again. So also to know is, I don't know you before the foundation of the world. I don't even know who you were. You were not in what? In the womb of my mind. See? So that is the question that I've been asking myself. We ask, probably you ask the same question. How can that happen? How can God allow people to, you know, preach the gospel? How can God allow people to also do wonderful works, prophesy, cast out devils, you know, and they're not even his own? See? So because that, you need to know who is who. Because it's going to be so close in these days that even if it was possible, that even the elect could be what? Deceived, because they're doing what we're doing. Sometimes they're doing more than I'm doing. Sometimes they put us to shame. They have all the gifts. They have all the things, wonderful things, you know. And you say, you know, we're supposed to do the same thing. Well, yes. But there's a difference. We're going to see there's a difference between this group and our group. Not that we are better or special, but God decided to do this. That was his plan before the foundation of the world. I had nothing to do with it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to gather together here this Wednesday to worship you, to praise you, Father, and to sit down and listen at your word tonight. Father, that this word be an encouragement to help us, Father, in our journey. Father, to help us to continue growing to the maturity of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Father, we will give you all the glory and the honor tonight for the word that you have provided for us through a prophet, Father, through your Bible. And tonight we want to see it and have and eat of that word, Father. Manna that come down from heaven tonight. Father, we want to have a feast tonight. We don't want to be choosy to pick what I like and what I don't like. We had to eat it all, like the children of Israel. They had to eat the whole lamb, roasted, hoof, and everything. So tonight, Father, we want to just sit at your feet, and we want you to teach us those things that we have to know so we can continue this journey until the end, Father, until you come. or until you take us away, Father. We love you, and we ask you to be with our brother. Pastor, Father, wherever he's at, keep him, protect him, cover him, Father. Don't let nothing happens to him, Father. Bring him back already rested and ready to continue, Father, the service that you have called him to do, Father. Father, we ask you for the rest of the congregation here tonight and those that are out there streaming, Father. May they get what they are expecting to get, Father, and even more, because you can give us even more than we expect sometimes, Father. You do it all the time. And we love you and thank you tonight. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So, let me define what an attribute is, and I already mentioned it, but it means that there's qualities, you know, or characteristics that someone have. In this case, we're talking about God and Satan. Because God and Satan, they both got attributes. They got characteristics. They have qualities. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without preaching against sin. And one of the attributes of sin is unbelief. And that attribute of God is to believe. God believed his own word, and he spoke it, and he believed it. That's an attribute. See? But Satan also has that attribute. It's called unbelief. That's sin. To unbelief, that's the definition of sin. So in this case, we're talking about the characteristics of God. And that's what made God. And your character is what make you. See? So here in the exposition of the seventh church, you're quiet. Don't be quiet. I don't bite anyway. It says, here also was the answer of Matthew 7:21-23. That I just read it to you. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It says, Jesus does not deny that they did the mighty works. That's only the Holy Ghost can accomplish that. Oh, wait a minute, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. You just told me they're just wicked, reprobates, you know, full of iniquity, unrighteous. So how can the Holy Ghost can work with something like that? Well, that's the mystery. He says, Jesus do not deny that they did the mighty work, that only the Holy Ghost can accomplish. Now, keep that in mind. Only the Holy Ghost can accomplish. No man can do anything unless God himself give you the ability, give you the gift, or give you the attribute, and drive you through the Holy Ghost to do these things. So that's why sometimes I get so upset. People sometimes say, well, I went to the hospital and I got healed, and praise the Lord. They don't even give God any thanks, because the only healer there is, you like it or not, is God. Without God, nobody can get healed. Healing is an attribute of God. And when you get sick and you get healed, that is because the attribute of God is in you. See? That shows that God is in you, because he's the only one can heal. And it's just an attribute. It has to be in you. And if God is in you, then the attribute is in you. We slowly get there. So the Holy Ghost can accomplish by way of men. But he did deny ever knowing them. Okay, I don't know you, but I can agree. That's what you're doing is right. You know, Brother Branham preached a sermon, false anointed at the end time. He said the anointing was right. What was false was who? Them. But the anointing that is on them is from God. The Holy Ghost only can do these things. But they were false prophets. Why God allows that? Well, let's find some answers. I don't know. Why? Just make it black and white. The good guys and the bad guys. The one got the Holy Ghost and no one the Holy Ghost, you know, and they don't do nothing good. But in this case, you don't know. They can deceive you. We're so close. God wanted it that way. He says, these weren't backsliders. You know what a backslider is. Okay, some people been in the message for 30 years and they decide to, hey, I don't believe this anymore. And they backslide. Or who knows, maybe they didn't have never the Holy Ghost. However, a backslider is someone that is in, but something happens, and then suddenly backslide and do something wrong. But God can always redeem that person. If he's the Son of God, a backslider can be redeemed. Yeah. And back in his position, that's what God says in the Bible, you know, to forgive and to restore. Yeah. So if somebody, so these people that we're talking here, they are not backsliders. So what they are then? Well, these were wicked, unregenerated, reprobates of mind. These were the seed of Satan. Can Satan do all this work? Can God use people that are of Satan to do this kind of work? You know, the work that the Holy Ghost allowed them to do? Well, it seems so. So what this tells me, that you have two different kind of people. One that have the seed of God and one that have the seed of Satan. But they are so close in what they do that you have to be able to go to discern. By what? By the fruits. By the character. See? By the character. So we continue. Matthew 19. 28. I want to look at this regeneration. I want you to understand what regeneration means, because he called them unregenerated. So I want to just cabbage down in that word a little bit. And Jesus said unto them, verily I said unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, regeneration means to regene. See, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, regeneration is the same thing as to be regene. To be regene is your first genes were not good. So now you have to be regene again completely. Amen. Not to make you look better, you know, using the old one so I can modify you, make you look better. No, completely, like brother was talking about, you have to die completely to yourself. Those first genes were no good. You got to be regened. You have to be recreated again completely and forget about the first birth. So he says, that ye which have followed me. He says in Titus 3:5, now, not by works of righteousness which we have done, see, but according to this, to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of what? Regeneration. You have been recreated. You have been, God is making you anew, to renew you. Why he do it? By the washing of the word. That's what is so important to come to church. Because every time you come to church, you grow a little bit. You know, a little bit here, a little bit here, status here, word here, you know. And then you just grow a little bit more. Why? We're trying to regen you. See, the word of God will slowly. Maybe I don't appear what I ought to be, but, you know, hold on. You stay here long enough, you will see something. You know, one of these days, I'm going to have a change of body. See, when I get that far, when we all get that mature. So God is doing that work in us. Through the word, through the washing of the word, we're trying to wash away yourself, your old self, and trying to recreate something that was in the image that God has before the foundation of the word. See, in his mind. He says, and the renewing by the Holy Ghost. See? It is the Holy Ghost that make you anew. See? The word has to come to pass. The Holy Ghost is the power behind the word. The word is life. But the life of the word is the Holy Ghost. If it was no Holy Ghost, the word becomes dead to you, a dead letter. So that letter has to come alive by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So regeneration here is like a renovation. You know, sometimes you get in an accident, you know, and the car, you just tear up your car, you know, it's total. So you take it to the insurance, and the insurance said, we will restore your car to before the accident. We're going to renovate it completely, the way it looked before. So you and I, the same way, we are being regened, recreated, renovated before the fall. Now, see, what happened after the fall, that's what God is bringing us back to what we were before the fall. But that takes some recreation. Well, I'm glad we're serving a God of creation. He created everything. There's nothing impossible for God. He can take me and break me and make me and mold me. And I'm just as happy as I can be. Because I want him to do that. So, regeneration. God is producing a new life. A consecrated life to God. See? Now, some people said that takes radical change in their mind. You know, there's a lot of radical people in the world today, in the streets, you know, out there breaking, burning, doing all kind of things. There's radical ideas in the government, you know, left, way out there, radical ideas about marriage and about this. I mean, we believe in a world that it's, you know, it's getting radical. But hey, don't be surprised. We are radical people too. Because we had to go from nothing to something. God is taking something that failed and making something anew. So the change of mind is a radical thing to me, because I had to lose my mind to get another mind. And that is radical. See? Because that is something that I don't understand. But I know God is doing that work, and you cannot explain it. So, the changes starts in the renewing of the mind. See, by having the mind of God. So, restorations to restore all things to its pristine state. See, that's what I was telling you about the insurance company. He will restore your car to before the accident. Now, if you had a bad bumper hanging before the accident, don't expect the insurance company to fix the bumper. They already knew that bumper was broken. Only the part that happened in the accident. You might decide, no, that happened in the accident. I want the bumper fixed. No, your bumper was that way before the accident. So, but I'm glad that God is going to take us back. Amen. To what we were before the foundation. The idea that he had of me, that's what I'm going back to. I'm not going back to his mind, but I'm going to back to that idea, that attribute that he had in his mind. Renovation, renewal. This is a company in town, Renewal. It's a free advertisement. You know, and what the people do, they restore your house, you know, your windows and your doors. It's like a restoration, you know, of your house. Windows and doors, and they call renewal. That's what I remember, renewal. But that's what God is doing to you and I. See, God is renewing us, restoring of life after death. See, I don't know if I put the definition. Yeah, well, I'm trying to pronounce these words. I can't get enough moisture in my tongue to roll it tonight. It gets kind of stuck to my. Maybe if I take this teed off. Now, Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's what's going on. Transformation, recreation, renewal. It's a transformation. And that's what I want. I came here because I want to change. I want to be transformed. I don't want to conform. I want to be transformed. Amen. So, by the renewing of your mind, again, the word renewing, renovation, complete change, you see, for the better. So that ye may prove what it is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? Now, conform here, it says, you know, everybody can conform. The Bible said, do not conform to the world or the things of the world. Because conforming is not like transforming. Conforming is like changing, you know. Well, today the fashion is this way, then I want to change that way. And then we want to change to this pattern today. And I used to drink, I used to smoke, I used to do this. Then I used to be strong in drugs, I used to do all these things. Then I go to AAA, and they can change that. But they can change the pattern. The behavior is what is changing. And then you come out of there, okay, you're not drinking, you're not gambling, you are not worrying, you are not doing anything else, smoking. But see, that don't mean that you have God. That don't mean that you're a Christian. That means that you conform to a new, you know, a new way of life. But that don't mean that you became a Christian. Now, if you are a Christian, of course, those things happen. Because it happens to me. But we don't want to conform. See? We usually, people that conform is people that imitate. You know, kids at school, they like to imitate the next guy and the next guy. And this fashion comes around and this comes around. But I don't want to imitate. I want to be the real thing tonight. Yes. So conforming is not what I want. I want to have a change completely. Or mine is completely change of character. It's what I hate my own old character. I want a new one. See? So, transform, again, we say it's a change into another form. And that's what I want. I don't know if I put that, yeah. It's transformed to another form. See, like Jesus was transfigured. In Mount Transfiguration, that was another form. See, we see him in there. His appearance changed. It was a bright light, brightness, and he was transfigured to a different, you know, kind of a body. We can say that. Because that's what I want. I don't want this. You know, don't make no sense to get to the end and have to stay in the same body and change. I want a change completely. Body, soul, and mind completely. So I want a complete transformation. So I want to be restored before the fall. And for that, you have to be born again and have the Holy Ghost. So 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness. Now, going back to the seed of Satan. We're still talking about attributes, fruits, and the seed of Satan. He said, the seed, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the power that are going to change them. Denying the Holy Ghost power. See? Therefore, from such turn away. That's what iniquity is. They know what's right. They know what to do. There's a problem. They don't have the power to do it. Because if they had the power to do it and choose to do it, we were all brothers and sisters in the same place and doing the same thing. They don't have the power. They deny the power that are going to make them. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we have to have it, because without the Holy Ghost, there's no change. That is the life of God in us that will drive us to make those changes. We cannot make it in our own. So these people, you know, they have a form of God. They made up what God it is. God is this, God is that, and God will do this, and God loves everybody. It doesn't matter what I look outside. He looks at the inside. They make all kind of a gospels because they don't have the power, and they don't want the power to change. Matthew 25:2. Here is the seed of Satan. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. And you know the story there. You know, one was elected. The wise was elected. He was predestinated, see? And he was filled of the Holy Ghost. They had oil. But the other one, they didn't have no oil. See? So the foolish virgin had no oil, had no Holy Ghost. But they have a working anointing. See? They did a lot of work, good work. But they had an anointing in the flesh. So with that anointing, they could do all those marvelous things that you and I do. See, Satan can copy. Satan can imitate. But the anointing is from God. But they don't have any, the anointing they have it in the flesh. And at the end they were cast to the tribulation. See? Now, this is the church that we're talking in Revelation 3:14, the Laodicea age church. They said, you know, that we have need of nothing. This is the church that has an anointing that is a real anointing, but they have a lot of work. And they have a lot of attributes. And they are real attributes from God that we're going to see. Because God is the giver of all good things. If anybody do anything good, it is God. Without God, you can. He's the only good one in our life. Now, Luke 10 says, after these things, let me show you how this works. Because how can you do all these things and not have the Holy Ghost? He says, after this thing, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will go or come. Now, 70, not 12, 70. At one time he had 500. And when he told them, you know, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no part of me. And at least 430 left them at least. We got 70 still hanging around. But it says 70 also, and he sent them out. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, so they came rejoicing, and the Lord says in 20, but let me read Revelation 3:17. Well, Revelation 3:17 and 3:20, that is the church, the Laodicean church, the one that says, I am rich, I'm increasing good, I have everything, I don't need you, see? But I'm going to get to that. I kind of messed up the lineup here. But Luke 10:20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, not rejoice on the works. This is where you have to have a discernment, because you can have works and still go to hell. That's what Jesus said. He said, do not rejoice in the works. He said that the spirits are subject unto you. See, they preached the gospel. They did supernatural things. They did miracles. They cast demons. Said, but rather rejoice because your name are written what? In heaven. So Revelation 13. That's not right. Yeah, Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb in heaven. See? Slain from the foundation of the world. So, we got two groups right now. And this is what Brother Branham says in this position of the seven church age, Church, anyway, you can read it. The sword, I'm glad of those things, because I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to even know how to read or write. You just read it. I just make like I'm, you know, doing it, but you read it anyway. The sword is in white was the Lord. Now, he's talking about the power of the sword, because Brother Branham had this thing. He needed to find out why these two guys, he was among the Pentecostals for a little bit in the Pentecostal meetings, and he saw, you know, all these attributes. He saw all this gift. He saw all this fruit, and he says, wow. And then he talked to one, and he was a genuine Christian that spoke in tongues. And he talked to the other one that translate, or not translate, how you call it, or interpret, and then he was not a genuine Christian. He was immoral. So he's thinking, well, how can this be? That's what I'm talking tonight. How can this be? So he went out to search. He retired and went out to the woods or his home. And he got his Bible. And we know the story. The wind came and opened the scriptures. And blew the pages to that scripture. The parable of the sword. And he says, the sword is in white was the Lord. See? The sword in the blood was the devil. So two seeds here. The word was the field. The seeds were people, you and I, and everybody else, elect and reprobates. So those two kinds. But both partook of the same nourishments. When it rained, everybody got wet. And everybody got said, praise the Lord. Because all good things come from God. It says they partake of the same nourishment. The water, the sun, both pray. Both receive help from God. For he makes his sun and rain to fall on both good and evil. And thought they both had the same wonderful blessing and both had the same wonderful manifestations, there was still that one great difference. They were what? Different seed. Amen. So, again, different seed and still can do what you and I can do? Sure. The only thing they cannot do is, like Brother Branham said, Satan cannot love. Satan cannot create. So the thing that they cannot do is to take the word of God and believe it in his fullness. See, they take the word partially. They like the attributes. They like the works. Yes, who don't like to be healed? Who don't like to have blessing? See, they like all the good things, but not the word in his complete fullness. Now, I want to read. Brother Brown says over here, still talking about attributes and how and what and who it happens. He says, Brother Brown said in 65 here, things that are to be. And he says, you were all pre-planned by God. Amen. If you're sitting here tonight, it's because you were pre-planned. Yes. You know, they got these Planned Parenthoods. You cannot compare that with God. This is God Planned Parenthood. You know, you're here because he thought about you before the foundation of the world. Because the Bible says, who he foreknew, he also called. He predestined. See? And to conform to his image. That's what the Bible says. So we've been predestined. We've been called. We've been justified. And we are glorified. So in the mind of God, if you came out from his mind and you were planned by him, then that means that you already made it. Glorify means glorification. See? So nothing happens by chance. Rabbi continues saying, with God, he knows all about it. It is all pre-planned. Oh, I like that. You know, I have an insurance plan and I have a health plan. But I have also a plan here, an assurance plan. For many generations back, see, your father, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, he knew exactly when and how and what bed you was going to be and how you were going to come out. There's no surprise for God. God already planned all this. He knows I was going to be born in Puerto Rico from my mother and my father and my great-grandfather. He knew so. Oh. If he don't know that, he's not God. But he's God. He has everything under control. Do you know that? Just think that you, at one time, and I repeat this again, you at one time was in your father and in the gene of your father. Now, he didn't know you at that time. Neither did you know him at that time. But, you see, then you were put into a bedding ground in the womb of your mother through holy wedlock, and then you became a person expressed in the image like your father. Then you have fellowship, see, with your father. The same thing with God. This is in the natural. You know, you are a gene of God, an attribute. See, and a gene is where all the characteristics, you know, when my mom and my dad came together, 23 chromosomes, you know, came together, and I am what all that information that is in those chromosomes, the color hair, how tall, how good, how bad, everything was in that information was in those genes. All my attributes in the natural were in those genes. I was a clone. They cloned me, see? They came together and they cloned me because I'm a clone of my mom and my dad. Because I got half of me is my dad and half is my mom. I don't have nothing on my own. You know? Sometimes I do things and I say, man, that's just like my mom. Ooh. And then sometimes, oh, this is just like my dad. You know, when I say something, do something, my dad used to do that and say that and do that. Well, you're a little clone of both of them. So what do you think you're going to do? So the same thing with God. When you was in God, mind, you are a gene. And in that gene is all the information about you. Your name, how tall, how high, how short, you know, how fast you're going to run, you know, where you're going to go, where you're going to be. All that information is in that gene, in that attribute of God. So God followed you all through to the generations. And then when that seed found you, when that word of God found you, the seed was already in you. If you came out of his mind and you an attribute of God, that gene is still in there, waiting for that time where the light is going to come, the gospel is going to come, light, and shine on that gene, and it's going to wake you up. Now you need to be regened, because that is the second birth. I'm talking about the second, not the first birth, the natural one. Now, the word finds you, shine a light on that seed that is the gene, and all the information that is going to make you is in that gene. Who you are in God's eye, in the image that God saw you, that is in that gene. So what happened to the other seed? The same way. The other seed has the same attribute of who? Of their father. Because they didn't come out of God. We came out from God, right? And that's our gene. But there's a group that didn't come out from God. Did God did that? No. That wasn't God's fault. That was the fault. But we continue. He says, now, the only way that you can be a son or a daughter of God, because you have to have eternal life. And the only kind of eternal life is God. See? And there's only one form of eternal life, and that is God life. Only one form of eternal life, and that was God. There, to be a son of God, you have to be in him always. Amen. So there's a group that was born, that was in his mind always. And the other group, he said, I don't know you, because you never, I never thought about you. And you wasn't even in my mind. And you said, but that's kind of sad what God would do that. Well, it wasn't God that did that. But God allows that because God had attributes as well. God was a God. He was alone. God is an object of worship. That's what God means. But he wasn't nobody to worship. God had attributes in himself. He was a healer, but he was nobody sick. God was a savior, and he was nobody lost. God was this and that. But he was alone with all these attributes. And he had an idea one day and said, you know what? Somebody got to be lost so I can save them. Somebody got to be sick so I can heal them. So he purposed in his mind to have a reason and a purpose to be. So he created a man so he could fall. So God has a purpose to do those things. See? So he can demonstrate his attributes. The same way, tonight, you are attributes of God. You are the purpose that God created you for, so you can be his attributes in this earth. We're going to get to that in a minute. He says, the gene of your life, spiritual life, tonight was in God. That's what you started. That's what your origin is. Your origin wasn't your mother and your father. Your origin is God. And if you are God, you have to act. Amen. That's why he's saying your attributes has to be the attributes of God. See, God is love. That's God's attribute. If you came out of his gene, just like I came out of my father's gene and I got his color hair, his color eye, and got his attributes, if you came from God, you have his attributes as well. So if God is love, that's what you are too. You got to love your brother. The Bible says clearly, if you say you love God but you don't love your brother, you are lying. Because how can you say you came out of God and we all came out of God, the same genes, with the same attributes, with the same feelings that God has, and said, I love God, but I don't love my brother and sister. Brother Branham made a statement. He says, I prefer for you to love my children to love me. Because if I know that you love my children, at least I know you love me. If you love God's children, listen, my friend, it is the other way around. I want you to turn this 180 degrees. When you love your brother and sister, that's how you love God. So don't come and say, I love God, because by your fruit, I know that you love God or not. Because I have to see how you love your brother and your sister. And no, that's the way you love God. By the fruit you shall know them. That's an attribute. If that attribute is in you, that is your fruit, and I can see that. The way you treat your family, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your co-workers, and you're a Christian, and the way you treat them, well, I am saved. I'm saved. I belong to the message, and I'm special, and you're Lord. You know, there's a church in town. I'm probably not the only one in town that says, we are the only one. Four are no more, and everybody else, they serve the devil. I mean, we're brothers and sisters. How can you make those statements? See? But anyway, he says, the gene of life, spiritual life. See? Tonight was in God, the Father, before we was even a molecule. See? We're not going to go back that far. I'm trying to explain this. And you are nothing but the manifestation. You are nothing tonight. Tonight you are the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God. Amen. So the way you act, the way you converse, the way you treat one another, it has to show the attributes of God. God is love. God cares. God is a healer. So don't you like to someone to be healed as well? You know, take for example Cain. God said, told Cain, I know you don't get it. I know you don't have a revelation. I know you are the seed of Satan. But you did your best. The man says that Cain came to worship God. Was sincere. He didn't came to church to be bad. He wanted to be better. So he do what he knows what to do. So he bring the flowers. And of course, God accepted Abel and rejected his. But God is a God of love. Do you think he wanted Cain to be lost, even though he was of the other seed? See, when you have the love of God in you, and you are one of God's children, you don't want nobody to be lost. I don't care if he's the worst enemy. That's what Jesus says. You need to love your enemy. Amen. See? Jesus did. Why? Because if that attribute of you is in there of God, you will not want nobody to be lost. I don't want to be lost. Why do I want somebody to be lost? Amen. I was lost once, and I was found. Don't you like to have some other people be found? Yeah. Now you say, but not everybody. That's not your business. Your business is to love that soul, not the person. Maybe he's a drinker, he's a curse. The soul, to love that soul, just like God loved your soul. That can tell me that you understand the love of God. Because the way that you love your brother and sister is the way that you love God. Yeah. He says, before was even a molecule, and you are nothing but the manifestation of the genus life that was in God as a son, God. Now you are expressed after the word has come in you. See, the word found you. So you didn't have no other choice but to express what was in you, in that seed. The light of this age, Brother Doug already talked about the light in the last survey. You are expressing God's life in you. That is your purpose, and that's the purpose of God, that we express him. Brother Brown says the only place and the only way people are going to see God is where? God is invisible. Nobody has seen God. So how will they see God? Well, you're supposed to be the express manifestation. You're supposed to be the display of God in heaven, in earth. Now, that's not something that you take lightly. When you go out there and people are looking at you, and you say you're a Christian, then you have to be a God to them. What God is, that's what you are. That's what I am. He said, God life in you because you are son and a daughter of God. Therefore, you get what I mean. You are now made. You are sitting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and to this people and this neighborhood where you are associated with. That's your work. That's your purpose. How well have you been doing your job? Well, I made mistakes, I know that. But how well are we representing God in earth? That's how we are, God in earth, in flesh. And what God is, that's what you are. Whatever you are, God knew that you would be here because you have to be one of his genes. If you are not, then you're not. One of his attributes, see, Brother Branch, in a change, genes, attributes, because the attributes is in the gene, who you are and what you are and what you're going to do are in your genes, all the attributes. But in this case, since we came out of God, our attributes is the attributes of God in our life. The same attributes he has. God is love. God is joy. See, God is righteous. See, go ahead and go into the Bible and find all the attributes of God. God is a good God. God is a loving God. God cares. That is your attributes because you came out of God. I came out of God. And I got that gene of God that is been regenerating and recreating. And what is it to show, the fruit that should be shown is, it is God. You know, Brother Branham, one time, he said, well, they said that in Canada, it was a group that they thought that God, that Brother Branham was God, and they were baptizing in his name. Now, how many people have confusing you with God or with Jesus Christ? What? That will be an honor. I mean, I don't want to be people baptizing in my name, but it will be an honor if somebody, you know, go. I mean, if I'm manifesting God that much that people will confuse me with Christ. But that's what I want anyway. See? I don't think it's a crazy idea. I think the people are crazy by thinking, you know, the other things. But that's not a crazy idea. Because we are made at the image of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to produce Jesus. You're going to produce Jesus. What else are you going to produce but him and his work? He says, I don't even know. Oh, I got a few minutes. This is a big subject that I started weeks ago, and I figure I'm just going to lay the foundation. If I have another time, another message, I will continue the details of this. But this is just the surface, you know, scratching the surface, so I can introduce the topic, and then I can move on. So I got a few more minutes. Yeah, it says, whatever you are, God knew you got. God knew that you would be here because you had to be in one of his genes. See, without you, God is not complete. Because you are one of his genes. So everything that is going to come, is going to come. So no one be lost. Because to lose one, can you think we're going to go to heaven and God is going to miss an ear? The body is going to miss a toe? God will not miss any part. God is perfect. And in that day, his body will be completed. Those that were in his mind, totally, all of them will be there. Why? Because we came out of him and we are part of him. And that's all it is. And there's nothing that can take us away or pull us apart. Nothing can from the love of God. God will have a bride. God will have a body completed. Amen. From toenail down there to top of the head. So if he chose me, how can I miss? God will be incomplete. And you said that kind of arrogance. No, it's not. Because I'm part of him. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. He says, you had to be, you know, you had to be his attribute. If you are gene of him, you had to be. If you have God eternal life, then it always was eternal life. And God before the foundation, the world knew that you will be here. And when the word of the water, the washing of the word of the word fell upon you, see, you express in your being, in a being, see, you express who you are when that word shine upon you on that seed. Now, you have fellowship with the Father, God. See, I also understand that what's going on in society today, as human beings, we are kind of, we like social fellowship with one another. We are a social kind of people. The reason that happened is because God wanted fellowship to begin with. This is not a world idea. This is God's idea. God was alone and God wanted fellowship. God liked to socialize. God likes to potluck. It wasn't a world idea. So what happened is with this coronavirus, this almost this year, everybody's been what? In quarantine, home. But see, what happened is that's not what God created you and me for. God created you and me so we can come together and have fellowship. That's why people are getting depressed at home. That's why people are getting, you know, committing suicide, because the human being was not made to be alone. We was made so we can have fellowship with the Father. So right now, and with one another, that's how we know we're having fellowship with God, when we have fellowship with one another. So people are committing suicide. People don't know what to do. People are tired to be home. I don't blame them, but I mean, the situation is hard, but because we are beings that like to what? Socialize. You can help that. We were not made to be in a house locked up for a whole year. Some people like to do that. You know, this is some people that they like to live like mushrooms in the darkness out there. And Brother Branham wanted to go to the woods at one point. He wanted to just to get away from everybody. Impossible. You know, he says, then God give me something. I just go out there and preach it out and I go back to my fishing and my camping and I stay away from everybody. That don't work. He didn't know that, but that don't work. Because God is a God of fellowship. God wants your fellowship. And if you're a part of God, God wants his parts to be together in unity. So that will be so hard to us when we had to close the churches today and have just so many. And because we are a fellowship kind of a people, because that's what God intended from the beginning of the world. He wanted to have fellowship with his thoughts. See, you can have fellowship with God at home, and you can change 1,000, but if we get together, we can change millions. We can change 10,000. See, so there's more of God in here than is you at home. And sometimes I'm in trouble that by my little self, you know, I cannot chase away this, whatever, that I need your help. That's why the church come in. Because I cannot chase it, but if I get with you and we get together, we can chase 10,000. See? And God made it that way. That's why God made gifts and attributes the way he made them. If I could pray for myself and lay hands on myself, what do I need you for? If I can preach to myself, I just get in front of the mirror, I can preach to myself and I can edify myself, I don't need you. God did not make it that way. He gave you certain attributes so I can depend on you and you can depend from me. Because that's how God made it. You cannot be a guy out there in an island by yourself and you know, and that's it. You cannot isolate yourself. That's why we need to come to church. That's why, because we need one another, because that was God's thoughts from the very beginning. Attribute of God. Fellowship is an attribute. If you don't like fellowship, then that's not God. That's somebody else's attribute. See? Oh, idea, but not God's idea. It says over here, God before the foundation of the world knew that you would be here, and when the washing of the water of the word fell upon you, then you express his being. Now you have fellowship with your Father, God, just as you have with you early Father. See, you are citizen of the King, not citizen, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God. If it is be that the eternal life dwells in you. Now, then, if he was, Jesus was the fullness of God manifested. He was the fullness of God bodily. Therefore, when he came to the earth and he was manifested in flesh, you were here in him. So, all that God was empty in what? He emptied it in Jesus Christ, and everything that was in Jesus was empty in the church. But when Christ was in this earth, you were here, there with him. Amen. In a gene form. Amen. See? Because he was the Word, and you are the Word as well. In the beginning it was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. Therefore, you walk with Him. See, you might don't know that, but you walk with Him. And when you were in Him, when He was in earth, see, you suffered with Him. And you died with Him. See, you was buried with Him, and you was risen with Him. It is done. It is finished. When He was judged, when Christ was judged by Pilate, you were in Christ and you were judged. You never done it. See? And now you are risen with Him. Listen, my friend, all I'm waiting is to get out of here. According to God's word, it is done. All I had to do is just be willing to live the life, you know, through the journey. He called me to display His attributes. But listen, my friend, none of one will be lost. None of His part will be lost. See? He says, already risen and resurrected to new life and setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that means so much our days, church. That means so much to us to see ourselves positionally placed in Jesus Christ. Give me a few minutes and let me finish this. Now, if we are those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. See? We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the word, because the bride is a part of the bridegroom. Like any wife is a part of a husband. Therefore, we must be that word bride. And what is that? And what is that word bride? The manifestation of this hour, the bride. Not a creed, not a denomination, but a living oracles of God. A living attributes of God, displaying to the world the attributes of God. Amen. So when you walk out there out of the door, you are displaying who God is. One attribute of God is fatherhood. So if you are a father, you are displaying father's attributes. So you'll be the same kind of father that He is. See? Attributes. He has attributes of... See, God, do not worry. Do you know worry is an attribute of Satan? Lying is an attribute of Satan. Fear is an attribute of Satan. See, we don't display those attributes because that is not our Father. So when you get to thinking about things that are not God's attributes, you need to change that. You need to cast those things away, because that is not your Father. Amen. Your Father is God. And He don't want to destroy you. He loves you. He wants to heal you. He wants the best for you, because He wants the best for His body. So when you start feeling bad, and you start feeling down, and you start feeling depressed, that's not the attributes of God. God is not depressed. See? God is not stressed out. God is not a sick God. In fact, in Him is only life. See? So you have to watch those attributes, because by the attributes you will know who is who talking to you. See? When you want to, when somebody hurts you and you want to lash out at somebody, that's not God's attribute. I'm going to get even. That's not God's attribute. That is the devil's attribute. And I don't want to worry, and I don't want to fear, because love casts away fear. Now, love is an attribute of God. So you are here in this world, to display the attributes of God in the formation of the bride. That's to be expressed in this hour. This is the hour to express the fullness of God. Why? Because the word has been fully restored. Now, Luther could not do it. Wesley could not do it. The Pentecostal could not do it. But you and I, this is the day and the time. This is the day that we are going to fully display, manifest the attributes of God. That's awesome, because not in part, but the complete body will display His attributes. It says, exposition says the true church of the Jesus Christ, the bride, is like the pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. I'm glad I'm wrapped around his righteousness. See, what is righteousness? To think right and do the right things. See, the wrong attribute will be iniquity. To know what to do right and not do it. But we don't commit iniquity. That's Satan's attribute. We do righteousness. Satan is the only unrighteous one. See? So it's a positive and it's a negative. His attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. So whatever he is, that's how you are. That's how we are. There's no doubt about it. See, Adam, when Eve came out of his side, was Adam had to tell her who she was. See? Because her identity was in him. And your identity is in him. And that's why we come to church, because I want to know who I am and what I'm supposed to do and how to do things, because my identity is in him. So whatever he is, that's what I want to be. He says, her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. So how are you going to reflect God if you don't even have an idea and understanding what God is and who God is? Only through the Holy Ghost. And only if you came out of him, then you will know. See? What he has, she is to manifest. So listen, my friend, this is not about you. Might as well forget about you and your feelings and your education and your intellectual and your reasoning, because this is all about him. Whatever he is, that's what we are. So keep your feelings out of the way. Your feelings are not from him. See? There's no fault in her. Why? Because there's no fault in him. That's how simple it is. If you came out of him and you're a gene on him and you were part of him and you're going back to him, that means that there cannot be no fault, because there's no fault in God. God don't make junk, Brother John. So how you can be fault? Man, you might think you're junk and you're nobody and you can do nothing, but God is saying different. See? God is saying that you are just like he is. No fault was found in her, because when Jesus was examined, the lamb has to be examined. He has to have no blemish. He has to have no wrinkles. He had to have no spot. And when he was examined, you were examined. Yeah. See? And when you were examined, they found no fault in you. See? She is glorious within and without. My, his glory. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. And he and all his works are? If God is working in you, JJ, you're perfect. Everything you line up with the word, everything you do what is right, according to his will, that's perfection. You know what perfect is in the world? I used to be an engineer. If you create a product, and a product will do exactly what the customer wanted to do, that's perfection. Because that's what he wanted. And he's doing exactly what he wanted. No fault, no break. So God don't create junk. So he says, there is no fault in you. She is glorious within, from beginning to ending. She is the work of her Lord. I'm glad that he's the Lord working and shaping us and molding us. And all his works are perfect. So what's the complaint? What's your complaint? Well, I don't like this church. I don't know what's wrong with this. Well, there's perfection in what I see. If it's God, it's all perfect. It's all well. You know what? Who's wrong? Me or you? Your ideas, your feelings. But according to God, if it's working in me, perfection. Amen. Yeah, but I don't like, but just hang around a little longer. That will change too. But you don't like me, but don't worry. You will love me, you know, sooner or later, because you got to get that and I got to get that before we leave here. Yeah. She's glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. And all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up the manifest, the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. Everything you want to know about God is here. That was the reason God made you, because he wanted to manifest himself through flesh. You are the manifestation, the complete manifestation of God. So you want to know, you know, that's what the Bible tells young, oldest sister, you know, counsel the younger, older, because they have experience. They have been around. You know, the Bible tells us don't even take each one to the judge, to be judged. We should judge everything in the house. Why? Because we are going to judge the world. And then you're going to have somebody outside to judge you, some pagan, some immoral person to judge you when everything that you have need is right here. God is here. How can we phantom, like Brother Andy was saying this? I mean, I cannot comprehend it. How can one understand it? So we cannot do that. We can accept it by faith. For God has spoken. And if it's spoken, it has to come true. God do not speak in vain. This is not vain. This is God. And if he spoke it, it will happen. Everything that he spoke about me, it will happen. Let's stand. I got one more, and then we just quit. Stand to your feet. Levántense. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you are of God, you will produce God. What an awesome idea. If you came from God, you will produce God. And you have nothing to do with it. Because he planted and he called you. I'm glad I have nothing to do with it. I would have messed it up. If you are a seed of God, an attribute, a son of God, then the word of God is sown in you. And then when you hear the word of God, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger will not follow, won't follow. You get it? Then every seed comes forth after its own kind. So Brother Branham spoke about the tree, that it was an orange tree. And in this orange tree, there was certain branches that were grafted. I was going to say drafted, but that's the army. Grafted. English, you know. But they were drafted too. In there. They took him by force and they put him there. So, however, the tree is a real tree. That's where the life is, in the tree. But Brother Brown said, if that tree put another branch, it will give orange. Because that is the life that is in that tree. The rest of the other branches that was in the tree will produce, because they are partaking of the life, the nourishment. See, they are partaking of the water and everything that comes in the tree. But when it's time for fruit, what do they give? Oh, their own fruit. They will not give oranges. And that's what happened with the two seeds. See, the denominations, they like the fruits, the fruit that they produce. But the brand says, you know, they are in love with their apples. You know? But Brother Brown said, I don't want the apple. I want the tree. See, because the life is in the tree. So Brother Brown says, the denomination are in love with their buildings and their riches and all this stuff. That's what they produce. Works, works, and works. And they preach the gospel. People get saved. You know what? Billy Graham, he preached the gospel. And many people got saved. And that's how far they're going to get. That's far it's going to get. That's still God working. And some of those people that were in those meetings, some of them became message believers. Maybe they went from Billy to Oral Robert was preaching, you know, speaking in tongues as an evidence. But if they went that far, you don't know how far God is going to take somebody. And you cannot speak about those people that they're doing works, attributes of God, because you don't know how many of those are children of God. I came through a Baptist church. I didn't come through a Pentecostal church because I couldn't see the team, but God brought me to a Baptist church, and look at where I am now. Now, I didn't know. Nobody would know. You would have saw me that day, and you could have been a message believer and saw me a day in the street and doing what I do, and you would have said, no, he will never believe it. How do you know that? Look at where I am. So, Billy, Oral Roberts, they're preaching the gospel, and these people are preaching the gospel, and people are getting converted. You know what? If that's how far they're going to go, that's God anyway. Because that's the Spirit of God, the anointing working on them. God has a plan for all that, had a plan for me. Some of you came from other denominations. Some of you came out of the streets because somebody preached to you. Somebody has to preach to you the Word of God. Amen. So, but the only problem is they're in love with the fruits. They don't want the life that is in the tree that will produce God in them, in us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. Father, your word is life to us. And we need it more than ever. In these last days, Father, there's going to be a group, there's going to be a people that they are going to display what God is, the attributes of God. And Brother Branham said that Brother Branham says that God will display the bride before she takes it out. And God will say, this is what I was talking about. This is my purpose, to have her to reflect all my attributes. Father, we love you tonight, and we ask you to help us to understand, Father, that we want to express who you are. And that means I'm going to have to die to me completely, so you can regenerate me completely, create me completely to your image. That is going to take a dying out. That is going to take a filling of the Holy Ghost. That is going to take a sealing of that Holy Ghost in our life. Because without the Holy Ghost, we cannot do it. But tonight, Father, we thank you because you brought us together. Father, we are from different walks of life, Father. Look at where we are. You brought us here together. This is your plan. You wanted me to be here. You want all of us to be in this place. It is not my plan. I didn't walk up one day and said, I want to go to church. And I want to go to this church. No, it was you. It was you working in my life. When that word came to my life, you direct my steps. And that's what I want. I want to let go and let you, Father, continue directing my life in everything that I have to do. It's what I want, Father. I want to express to the world, to the nations, not only that far, here in this church, to one another. We want to see God. We need to look at each other, because there's a power of God in each one of us. Father, we thank you and we appreciate you for this opportunity that we still have to speak your word in this sad time. There will be time that it won't be able, but thank you because we still can come and hear, Father, your word. Father, we ask you to be with our pastor. We ask you to be with those that are sick. Father, I learned that Bobby Chacon was sick as well. I remember Bobby there in Brother Green Tabernacle, Father. Nice, gentle brother. And the doctor said that he might not make it, but that's what the doctor said. Father, I believe tonight that they don't have to die or that. And in that way, Father, you did not create this disease so people can die, so your children can die in that kind of a death. Father, restore them. Father, we ask you to raise them up from the sickness. Father, it is not a way to go. Alone, without family, that's not you. Raise him, Father. Maybe he has to die later on, but at least just like Lazarus, he came up, but he died later on. But at least, not this way, Lord. This is not you. Touch him, Lord. I don't care what the doctor said. You are the doctor, the physician, the physicians, Father. Raise them up, Father, because we love one another. And we know that healing is the bread of your children tonight. Thank you again, Father, for this church. Thank you for this body, local body of Christ. Thank you for what they have meant to us all these years. Thank you because we have grown here in this church. Thank you for the pastor and deacons and teachers and musicians. Father, this is not something that it just happened by coincidence. This is the plan of God for us here. And I appreciate you and I love you for that. Because you are perfect and you will not make mistakes. This is not a mistake. This is the work of God in this local church. We ask you these things, Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen. Amen. To you, no one else will do. Lord, in troubles down, I will run straight to you. Through my heart unfailing. Amen. My tower of strength, my portion evermore. Mountains where my help will come from. It comes from you, Lord. You are my maker, and earth and heaven, and there is nothing